Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Manta la praske de balatu shibre ada barabas. Shkebradeke de balada balakotus. Make sure you are praying in the spirit. Shalabaranda kaparus kelebradeke de balash. Rata balada makatas kelebelehash balash. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, give me an encounter by your word tonight. Lift your voice and pray. Give me an encounter in the name of Jesus. Give me an encounter by your word. Give me an encounter by your word. And the Lord appeared to Samuel again in Shiloh by his word. Pray from the depth of your heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, we're gathered tonight in this place to learn, to rise, to access very deep spiritual things. You have not called the seed of Jacob to seek you in vain. You are not a man that you should lie, O God, nor the son of man that you should repent. And so we come trusting your word, we come believing in the truthfulness of your person. You said, as we behold you, we are changed. So Lord, we have come to be changed from one dimension of glory even to the other. I pray tonight by the Spirit that there is the hearing of faith and even the working of miracles. Let your people be touched. Let your people be lifted. Let burdens be lifted in Jesus' name. God bless you. Please be seated. Now we're to continue our series on prayer, but there'll be a little interruption tonight. We'll take it next week. There's something really burning in my heart that I must share. I started a series of teaching in the conference with CGC, and it inspired me and blessed me so much. I just thought to teach along the lines of Kingdom Advance tonight. I just felt that there were a few things that the body of Christ again needed to understand. And remember, God has granted us the privilege, the anointing and the influence to speak to the body. And so we do not take it lightly when we communicate these truths, knowing that there are thousands of people following and those who will follow by way of the teachings. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's important that our Christian lives become fruitful. It's important that we continue to see the glory of God manifest in our lives. Praise the Lord. I'll be talking about many things tonight, but basically just to guide us to truly be able to partner with the Holy Spirit in the advance of His kingdom. Praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 33. We'll start reading from verse 50 to 53. Numbers 33, 50 and 53. I'm teaching tonight on territorial dominion. Territorial dominion. The ability to not only subdue principalities and powers, but the ability to take nations, to take territories for Jesus. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, 52, then ye shall drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down their high places. 53, and ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. Isaiah chapter 2. The book of Isaiah chapter 2. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us your ways. Isaiah chapter 2. Are we there? Isaiah chapter 2. The same prophecy was given to prophet Micah, but I like Isaiah's rendition. And the word of the Lord, let me start from verse 1, came to Isaiah the son of Amoz, what he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. 2 says, And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and nations shall flow unto it. Verse 3 says, And many people, say many people shall go and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Hallelujah. It is important for us as believers, please, you can drop your Bible now and listen. It is important as believers to understand that there is a territorial dimension to kingdom advance. Kingdom advance generally speaks of extending the influence, the reign and the influence of the Christ. When prophet Isaiah received the messianic prophecy that would talk about Jesus, it was said in that prophecy that of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. That means of the continual advancement and expansion of Christ, his purposes, and the peace that comes in that kingdom, there will be no end. So this is a kingdom that grows. Please understand this. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I know that looking at society right now, it looks like the church is not growing. It looks like the purposes of Christ is not advancing. But I want you to know that the church is growing, and the purposes of Christ is advancing. The Bible declares that it is God's desire that the Lordship of Christ be established first in the hearts of men. Please say the hearts of men. One more time, say the hearts of men. And then number 2, across territories. So, kingdom advance is twofold. The establishment of the Lordship of Christ first in the hearts of men. The purposes of Christ must be established in the hearts of men. Then number 2, it must be frontiered across territories. That means it is not enough that individuals be saved. It is not enough that individuals come under the governing influence of the Christ. It is time to start taking cities. Cities. The Bible says, these are they, the book of Acts, that have turned the world upside down. The story of revival, as we read first from scripture and then through modern history, talks about men and women. According to Hebrews 11, the Bible says they subdued kingdoms. Everybody say subdued kingdoms. I'm teaching us this dimension because I was so touched dealing with the teachings that I had with CGC. And then I was reminded again that it is not enough for us to just win souls in terms of individuals. It is time for us to obtain grace from God to start taking cities. He says, ask of me of the hidden, I will give them to you for your inheritance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is time for us to take systems, structures, nations, and bring them under the lordship of the Christ. This is one of the ways that the kingdom will advance. Now look up. I gave an analogy in the morning while teaching during the church service of CGC. And I told them that you may not have seen the founders of Nokia or BlackBerry or whatever it is, your Apple products, but they have so done something to the territory that if your phone gets missing, lost, or spoiled, you remain restless until another one comes. They have forced the necessity of that product in your life. You, no matter how conservative you are, when you lose your phone, you don't just keep quiet. You will say glory be to God, but you will do something about it. They have indoctrinated a generation into believing that without a phone, a gadget like this, your life is incomplete. Now that's powerful, because that's exactly how the kingdom was supposed to become institutional. That a day must come in the life of a city when, if there is no service in a day, people will say, what is wrong? Not just on Sundays alone, not just on Mondays alone. They gather daily in the early church. That a day will come where it should not be that there is no Christian within a territory. It should not be that God is void of men and women who can advance his purposes within a territory. Kingdom advance is territorial. That means that we are not entirely free until our territory is free. I repeat, we are not entirely free until our territory is free. I can enjoy the freedom that comes with a new life as an individual, but I am still in bondage, because if the territory has not come under the lordship of the Christ, I can be affected. Listen to me. I can be affected by the value system that is predominant within a territory, even though I have been exempted by my new birth experience. Such is the case that we experience here in the north. Such is the case that we experience in Africa. I give you an instance. I am not a corrupt person. You are not a corrupt person. But we are victims of the consequences of corruption, for instance. Why? Because we are immersed in a territory that still holds corruption as a value system. So we are not entirely free. Listen, this message is aimed at correcting the mistake that Esther was about to make. Hallelujah. Haman was conniving with the king and attempting to manipulate and influence him to bring the people of God under servitude and bondage, to pass a law that will fight and annihilate the Jews. Are we together? Esther is in the palace as the privileged wife of Ahasuerus, having the opportunity to influence the program of God. She was comfortable. I hope you know that as the first lady of a king who was lord over 127 provinces. A province is what will be equivalent to a continent. A province is not a local government. A province is not, it will be the equivalent of what we call a continent today. And so literally, he was like the lord of the then world. 127 provinces. And here's a woman with the power and the influence to see that the purposes of God are preserved. But because of the beauty and the security that came with the palace, she ignored Mordecai. And Mordecai sent a warning and said, do not think when they finish with us, when they find out you are a Jew, in other words, although you are free in the palace, you are not free in the nation. Are we together now? Esther's advocacy, the entire book of Esther,
was not about Esther trying to protect herself. She was already free. Remember, she was the king's wife. The same way you are already free as the bride of Christ. But the territory is in trouble. There is a Mordecai somewhere manipulating the government and the positions of influence to antagonize the program of God. And the Holy Spirit stands as our Mordecai. And he's speaking to the Esther of the king and saying, do not be comfortable just because you can buy a car, just because you can eat, just because you are happy, just because things are well with you, just because your church looks like it's doing well. If the kingdom, the program of God, the territory is not captured to come under the influence of Christ, it means one day what you call liberty will not be liberty indeed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is a God who is territorial in context. He deals with people, he deals with things territorially. I have heard of stories where flourishing churches, flourishing nations were locked down in a moment. Because another Pharaoh arose who did not know Joseph. When I was studying, preparing for this, I studied and it surprised me to find out that North Korea was once a center of revival on earth. Can you imagine that? North Korea. That once upon a time there was an outpouring of the Spirit. China was once a place of massive revival. The hand of God was strong upon that. Europe. You study the story of people like John Knox and the rest. Mighty men of, and women of God. John Knox, who took over Scotland through the power of prayer and intercession. And right now, some of these places have become monuments today. Palestine. Many of the apostolic activity of Paul happened within Rome, Palestine, and all of those nations. And today you can hardly find anything that represents the purposes of God. Do you know why? Because the individuals were free, but the territory was not free. Daniel was free as a person. He had been exalted to be one of the king's inner circle. But the program of God in Babylon was still in bondage. And all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar decides to build a 90-foot statue of gold and says, when you hear the trumpet, when you hear all of these things, bow down to it. Three Hebrew boys came out to stand and be different. They wanted to be different, but they had to pay the price for fighting the mindset of a territory. Listen, please hear me. You are not free when your territory does not call upon your God. The nation of Israel were in Egypt to receive succor because there was no bread, there was no wine, food had finished. But because Joseph was there in power and Pharaoh had committed the entire governance of Egypt unto him, the purposes of God could thrive. Listen carefully. The purposes of God could advance under the watch and under the leadership of Joseph. But Egypt did not yet belong to God in terms of territorial alliance. So when the man who was the advocate of God's program died, another Pharaoh arose. And when that Pharaoh arose, he changed his policy. Look how easy it is to bring the purposes of God to jeopardy. One man can just arise who does not believe in your conviction, and that's the end of it. We are not free until our territory is free. Dominion must be territorial. Is God speaking to us? Commanding influence and dominion over a territory is a dimension of the gospel that has largely not been understood. Please look up. Let me have your attention. We have done well in terms of evangelism. Please come. One-on-one evangelism. We have done well in terms of printing tracts. Excellent. We have done well in terms of putting Jesus film and going to, you know, community projects, Bible translation activities. We have done exceptionally well. That is commendable. Except for the fact that it seems as though our lopsided understanding of the gospel and kingdom advance, if we do not correct and balance it, there will be a serious problem. Do you know this is the problem today in the West? An average elderly person in America is born again. An average elderly person in America is born again, calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus. But an average young person in America is far, he's not even close to the gate of the kingdom. What happened? Once upon a time, America did not just believe in Jesus alone. They dedicated their territory. They said, in God we trust. As a territorial, that means God, anywhere you see within the circumference of America, it is dedicated as the space for your influence. God is a God of territory. What did he give to Abraham? Not just the blessing, he gave him access to territory. God is always territorial. He wants territories to be captured for him. And this is a dimension of kingdom advance that people have gotten wrong. Please look up. When we talk about, there is a concept that is used, especially in the Pentecostal circle. It's called takeover. And it's a concept that came from the revelation of scripture. That a time will come the mountain of the Lord's house. That a time will come the world will bring influence. And I believe that. But there is a dimension of our takeover concept that is wrong. For many of us, our concept of takeover means one day Nigeria will be like Dubai. One day, Haiti will be like Europe. I don't think it's going to happen. Not at this side of God's program. So the idea of takeover is not just in terms of infrastructural development. No. Remember that territory is about people. People. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the walls and they that dwell in them. So the idea is not an advocacy to make Nigeria become like Dubai one day. It's a wonderful project if it ever happens. Are we together? But the idea is to see that the ideology of a territory, now this is where we're talking about. So when we're talking about territorial dominion, we are not looking at it from a carnal, fleshly standpoint, although there is a socioeconomic implication, but primarily we are talking of the church ascending to a point where the church is in charge of the mind control systems. Write it down. The mind control systems across every territory. This is how dominion happens. When the mind control systems, that means the instruments that are used to shape the paradigm, the understanding and the perception of people within a territory, comes under the influence of the church. That is dominion. Everyone, please say mind control systems. One more time, shout it. Say mind control systems. So when we talk about territorial dominion, the idea is not to drive Muslims, drive traditionalists from a territory, in that the only people here are just Christians. That's not the idea, because the same Lord is rich unto all. Are we together now? It was the mistake that Alexander Douay wanted to make because of his passion to see this territorial take over. The idea was to drive every non-Christian out of a region. And he tried to do it. And he came up with a city called Zion City, right? It was a city that would become a prototype of his idea. That means a city that was entirely built upon righteousness, where there was nothing that represented darkness there. And I understand that, but this is not exactly the concept. Until Jesus comes, there will still be sinners on earth. Until Jesus comes, there will still be non-Christians on earth. The same Lord sends rain upon the godly and the ungodly. Are we blessed? Very powerful concept. Your Christianity in terms of kingdom advance will be very meaningless if you don't understand this. This is the reason behind the frustration of many Christians who are now born again, now filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they tend to ask, what more? Because the advocacy, the proposition that was given to them at their new birth experience was that they should prepare for heaven. And that is wonderful. And now this guy realizes that he has 90 more years to live. How many years? So let's assume that this guy is 35. 90 plus 35. This is a long time to live, not knowing what you are doing. Are we together? So many people are frustrated because the ritual of going to church on Sunday, then midweek prayer on Wednesday, then maybe a prayer meeting on Friday, then another fellowship, and then the ritual continues. Then once in a while a conference comes. Then once in a while a revival program comes. Then marriage is added to it. Then children added to it. Then old age is added to it. It finally ends up in the grave. It's not a wise way of living. An intelligent God would not design that system of living. There is enough to occupy you to make your life worthwhile that you check the time and say, my God, can you imagine 20 years is gone right now? I must walk the walks of him that sent me while it is day. The Bible says the harvest is wide, but the laborers are few. Let me add, not to add to scripture, but I think the laborers are also foolish. They are not just few. There is need to trust God for an impartation. He says wisdom is profitable to direct. It's already an emergency that the laborers are few. And then if the laborers that are there are not wise, operating by the wisdom of heaven, then we'll be in trouble. If you do not love this message, you are selfish. Because it means you are not thinking about your children. May God forbid it that it will be in our lifetime. Pharaohs will arise from our territory that will hijack this place. That our children will be sent to servitude. Do you know? Let me tell you, God forbid. But if a crisis breaks out in Africa, right? Or Nigeria. Most of our parents who are already close to their grave. It's just to push them and they are in. They are already close there. You get what I'm saying? Believers are very careless sets of people. We always think darkness is so far until our carelessness allows it to come near. To come near to a point that our children will no longer have. Who would have believed that the Ten Commandments will be removed today in schools? Look up, please. Who will have believed? We are not talking of Saudi Arabia. We are not talking of North Korea. Are we together? We are not talking of the Gulf nations. We are talking of a nation that has stood to herald the gospel for decades. And right now, individuals within a parliament would sign and say, get this thing out. You discipline your child, you are going to court. That means you flog the child, behave well, be a good disciple of Jesus. Straight, someone is punishing you for violating the fundamental right of that child. Are we together? I know a great man, a very wealthy man whose son was in the U.S. When he clocked 18 and he came back, the mother shouted, he told her, stop that, I am 18. The mother beat nonsense out of him. Now, it's not an advocacy for violence and child abuse. Please, don't misunderstand me. I'm speaking to nations. There are people following us from around the world. But the idea is that most people think your personal salvation means territorial salvation. No. There is personal salvation. I am saved. But there is territorial salvation. I am safe. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, not the peace of the prayer warrior. The prayer warrior is already free, but Jerusalem is in trouble. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He said, they shall prosper that love thee. Hallelujah. I thank God for the profound mentorship of Dr. Miles Monroe in and to my life. We continue to be the fruits of his apostleship, advocating a balanced understanding of kingdom advance. The evangelical has done well. We respect and we honor and we continue to bless them. I came out of the evangelical circles, but the imbalance of advocating personal salvation alone as the ultimate key to taking over territories is an error. An individual salvation is important, but we must understand the principles that bring Christ to be enthroned territorially. Look at this. I love the way the Bible puts it. As for me and my, why is it important for your house to serve the Lord? If they don't want to serve, that's their cup of tea. No. As for me and my house. One time, when they were fighting Jericho, they were instructed to not take anything. Is that true? That no substance should be taken. Specific instructions were given. And one man decided to hide something for himself. Because of that, a little city began to defeat them. Now, imagine the innocent people that died because of one person's contribution. Haman single-handedly was going to destroy the entire nation of the Jews. We must command influence and dominion territorially to establish posterity. Our children are at the mercy of our spiritual understanding. The continuity of God's program is at the mercy of our spiritual understanding. Do not say like Esther, I am happy, I am comfortable, I know that I'm going to heaven. If you like, kill me, I'm going to heaven. What of your children? What of your grandchildren? Sometimes this selfish approach to martyrdom, we think that just because you are ready to die for Jesus, what of the rest? Are they ready? If I'm ready to die for Jesus, and this guy is not ready, the proof that I love Jesus is that for his sake, I should say, Lord, give us time. Let this man be ready too. Most of us don't know that this our advocacy for martyrdom, it looks spiritual, it's selfishness. Lord, even if it's to kill, let them kill, I'm ready now. No, we are not ready. We are not ready. There are souls that should be saved. There are territories that must come under the influence of Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And even if I die, is gain. But they killed him and he came back. Correct? They killed Paul. When they left, he got up, shook himself and said, you are joking. There are still many other places. If I die today, it is gain for me, not for God's program. If I die today, it is gain for me as an individual, but God's program on earth will suffer a heavy blow. So what do I do as proof that I love him? Reject and cast the spirit of death anywhere I see it. Not out of fear, but out of my desire to see that I'm alive and strong to continue advocating the frontiers of the kingdom. If you love God, don't die. Don't die soon. Live long. Remain alive. You think I'm just motivating you? Tonight's message, we are just warming up. I have some serious things to talk about here. Let me tell you this. Brothers and sisters, hear me. Africa is coming under siege. Nigeria is coming under siege. There are powers that have intelligently been coordinating a campaign to frustrate the purposes of the Christ. And because believers do not understand the territorial dimension of kingdom advance, we continue to flatter ourselves in the palace like Esther, whereas Haman is already plotting the defeat of God's people. But thank God for Esther's. Thank God for Esther's. Doesn't mean you're a lady. Esther is a prophetic office. Thank God for Esther's. The saviors that shall arise from Zion. Are we together? There are principles I want to share with you now. The remnant that will preserve the purposes of the Christ and make that preservation transgenerational. Take note of the word transgenerational. By the grace of God, if Christ tarries, I want to be able to stand from the shores of heaven and see that God's program still continues, because we supplied a template that could not be bent. We mentored believers in a way and manner that even though we have gone, they still continue to stand to see that the purposes of Christ is advanced. Let me tell you this. The Jews and those in Israel were very wise, although many of them have not personally come into the knowledge of Christ, but they have used the principles of Judaism to understand that it is not enough to be connected to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our territory must also come. And so when the neighboring nations fight territory, they say no. Believers have this foolish understanding that because the purposes of Christ is only in our hearts, what do you need land for? What do you need this for? Are we together now?
Yes.
There are cities that when you enter, you can almost not find land for church. Do you know why? Because the territorial dimension of kingdom advance was not taught the leaders in those days. When there were free lands to get, they thought that evangelism is all about, once Jesus is in your heart, no worry. How long do you have to live? And the platforms, right now, believers are stranded. To have a place of worship is a problem, because it's a campaign that was taken with intelligence over decades. And the leaders, as well-meaning as they were not strategic enough in understanding the territorial dimension of kingdom advance. But in the name of Jesus, under our watch and in our lifetime, not only individuals will lift up the name of the Lord, we will compel territories. We will hijack the mind control systems, the strata that manipulates the understanding of men. This is what we are living for. And it will happen. We are not noisemakers. There is a power and a force that backs us. We do not speak cunningly devised fables. We have been given the blueprint of God's program, and we are following accordingly. Usually we will look like talkatives until you see it come to pass. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, you know, every time I read that scripture, I know that God was not talking to somebody and asking me to share that idea. He was writing it and saying, Apostle Joshua Selman, see it. This is your mandate. I've taught you here that you must find where it was written about you in scripture, not prophetically, directly. Not everything written in scripture was for the saints alive. Many of them were written waiting for the real owner of that prophecy. I found things in this Bible, I believe they were written for me. It's true. Hallelujah. I would share with us four principles tonight. If you love Jesus Christ and you desire to see a generation after a generation, if you desire to see Nigeria, the North, Kaduna State, Africa, and indeed the globe, stand and honor the name of the Lord, then pay attention to the things I want to teach you. Number one, the first principle allocated by God's wisdom for territorial takeover, thank you, is the warfare dimension of prayer and intercession. The first principle given to the saints by which we compel territories to come under the influence of the Christ is the priestly ministry of prayer and intercession. Take it high from your mic. Listen, believers, please look at me. Prayer is not for prayer warriors. Prayer is for saviors. There is no such thing as, I don't pray because I'm not a prayer warrior. And when I talk of prayer, remember that I've weaned us away from this baby canal milk-like prayer of give me tea, give me bread. He said, ask me for the nations. We're talking of prayer. John Knox prayed a prayer and said, Lord, give me Scotland, not give me an estate. Give me a territory or take my life. Taba. that you can carry one city and cut a map and put it in your prayer altar, and that becomes your prayer. Lord, to see your glory engulf Zaria. No way for darkness. A new spirit is about to be introduced in the territory, and angels clear them out of the way because the saints are alive. The Bible says hell had enlarged itself. There are spirits that have not yet come to Africa, but will come. I hope you know that all we see is not all there is. There are inventions of mysterious sicknesses that the devil wants to send. But there must be men and women who are true watchmen. Not just watchmen as talk. I will stand upon my watch and I will set myself upon the tower. Men who can pray darkness away. Men who can pray light into being. Men who can pray until a savior arises. Anna the prophetess. There's no record of scripture that she was praying for a husband. I hope you know she was a widow. She had a legitimate ground to say, oh Lord, while I'm visiting you now, sort my life. She said, leave the issue of my life now. I continue to pray until my eyes see the consolation of Israel. When Jesus was brought to the temple, she said, now, might my soul rest. I'm ready to go. I finally seen him. Hi. May God raise those kinds of Christians in our days. People who are concerned about the program of God more than the personal interests of tea and bread. Don't get me wrong. These things are important. But your heart. When you study the Wells Revival, Evan Roberts was 26 years old when God used him to shut down the city of Wales. 26. Many of you here are older than him when this revival happened. The young man began to pray and say, Lord, I am tired of seeing this kind of Christianity I see within my territory. Powerless Christianity. And he began to pray. And for a period of 6 months, he was going to heaven every day. Every day from between the hours of 12 and 4, he would have a divine visitation. It was the product of that visitation. They got a little school for him to just start a little program. And that was where the fire started. People will read about what happened in Wales in the newspaper. And right there, that fire will engulf them. Smith Wigglesworth prophesied that it will happen again. Yes. He told Lester Sumrall that it will happen again. He said, before you die, make sure you don't die with this anointing. Find young men. Transfer this mantle upon them. So that, listen, this thing we are carrying did not just start with us. It's a relay. I don't know how old what is on me is. All I know is that I received it. It's like an Olympic torch. It's easy for us to sit down and criticize our fathers. Criticize the founders of different movements. They brought error. They brought this and run our mouths and talk nonsense and not know that now the stage is ours. Do you not see the eyes of Eli becoming dim? Do you not see that the time is almost finished and God is calling on Samuel? Samuel, you are sleeping. Wake up. Eli is about to go. It's a call for a generation. I speak what I speak in parables, but it is true. The eyes of Eli is closing. And if Samuel does not wake up and become that prophet whose word does not fall to the ground. We raise your banner high. We shine your light so bright. We sing in honor of you. We will raise your banner high. We shine your light so bright. We sing in honor of you. Nadoka kasunanka ubangiji kaisalabo. Nakimama sunanka ubangiji. Ninadoka kasunanka ubangiji.
It's an anthem for a generation.
We raise your banner high. We shine your light so bright. We speak.
Hey, la paradosha la bala.
We will raise your banner high. We shine your light so bright.
Sit down. There used to be a song that we sang in a seminary that our generation will call your name. This is not a sermon for tea and bread. This is not a sermon for give me this. God will do it. But we're talking of nations. The ministry of warfare and intercession. That an anointing must come upon a generation to pray. Not for the purpose of showing who is more powerful. There has to be a grace. It's a corporate mantle. It's not just prayer groups. It's starting now as little prayer groups. Little. A time will come, there will be no leader. It's a grace. Homes will become prayer altars. Schools will become prayer. It does not matter who wants to say what. It is an ordinance signed by God's integrity. Let me tell you this. If we cannot pray as a generation, we're in trouble. Darkness will stamp us and stamp our children. Oh, Haman, do not rejoice. Esther is still in the palace. Esther is still in the palace. And she still has access to Ahasuerus. That which has been signed can be changed. Listen to me. The days that are coming are days when we have to trust God to sort our personal needs fast so that it can give us room to focus. All this issue of coming to preach series just about tea and bread. We're talking of nations. Our children are in trouble.
Kataba Shada Sidash Ebre Sigate Lesia Hasabandaka Raparuto Supra Katiana Rata Shinemas Kelebarutasia. Men carrying things that belong to a generation, not a program, not a conference, carrying mantles that are generational. Hebrahu Selebarutasia. Thank you.
Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10. Verse 10. See, I have this day set you over territories, nations, and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build. God is giving nations, like a man is about to die and he say, you, my estate in Kano is yours. God is sharing nations and saying, I allocate territories. Who can sing for me that song?
We'll bow down and say you are God.
You know the song? Sit down. We have to make progress tonight. Listen to me. There are spiritual forces and controlling powers in every allocated territory. Every territory that is allocated has spiritual powers. Listen to me. These spirits influence culture. These spirits create negative patterns in the minds of people. They are called familiar spirits. There is a reason why they are called familiar spirits. They are spirits that have dwelt with people. They grew up with people. I shared this morning during the church service that one time I remember I was in Shiroro. We were ministering in a crusade. And I saw a group. It was up to 15 or 16 people. Women. It was a pattern I saw there. The moment the women gave birth, they became deaf and dumb. Immediately. I said, what is this? It was no longer a sickness. Listen, when you see a widespread of a pattern, it's a testimony that a controlling power is reigning within a territory. Every territory in Nigeria has the signature of the controlling powers. There are territories where no matter how great the men study, it's the women that feed the men. Territories. There are territories that are associated with certain things. Anger, rage. There are territories that are associated with early death. You go to the territories and the youngest person is 60 years old, but there are no children. The parents use the children to live long. Controlling powers. There are territories where you must end like your past. You don't end like your future. You can go to the US and spend 10 years and return back to the village in one room. It's not about habits. There are spirits. There are many of us who have uncles who will tell you, this one was a CEO, this one was a customs officer, but right now if you give him 10,000, he will say thank you. What happened? These powers
There are churches, there are territories where a church cannot survive 5 years. Impossible. Something must happen. The man will die. A scandal will tear him down. Something must happen. There are powers. When Daniel began to pray, the prayer was affecting the spirit of the Medes and the Persians. The spirits that controlled Medo-Persia. His prayer, Daniel was not saying, Lord, sort me out. He found out that the time of the captivity of Israel in Babylon had come to pass, and he started praying. I, Daniel, understood by books. I read and I saw that by this time in prophecy, we should not be in captivity. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And he began to pray. And when he began to pray, heaven, don't mind the people talking nonsense that they don't know. This is not about New Testament and Old Testament. It's what happens in the realm of the spirit. The moment they began to pray, Gabriel, the angel that brings messages, the angel of service, that archangel left the third heavens, and on his way coming to the earth, he was hijacked from the second heavens by one who the Bible calls the prince of Persia, not the demon of Persia. There is ranking in the spirit. A prince, not a traditional ruler, a prince. Let me tell you this. The foolishness of many believers alongside our pride is why Satan will tear nations down. All these childish teachings that continue to move around, that negates the reality of the realm of the spirit, and the fact that there needs to be the contention of the saints, will destroy our generation. Some of those teachings are deceptions, activities of lying spirits. The Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, and they will give heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of demons. We are watching darkness before us and we are pretending it is not there. We are watching a woman barren, her daughter barren, granddaughter barren. We say nothing is happening. How can you say nothing is happening? A grandmother raped by someone, the mother raped by someone, the granddaughter raped by someone, you say nothing is happening. Find a way to believe it early in your life that there are controlling powers. They don't attack you, they are not interested in you. They attack territories. There are spirits that attack you. There are spirits who don't even know who you are. They were allocated to a territory. When Jesus was about to cast the spirit, they begged him not to leave the territory. We can leave the man, but keep us in the territory. Hallelujah. Please listen to what I teach you. This is the redemption of our children. Is the preservation of God's program within our land. There is a spirit now that attacks age ranges from 10 to 18. Once you are more than 18, it does not disturb you. It's like Satan has plotted his graph and found out that the most useful age range now are our teenagers. He's not disturbing babies. He's not disturbing the young people. The old people already, they're already there. But those teenagers, I know this by the widespread pattern in our teenagers. Their resentment for God, their obsession for technology, their outspoken, that the vocal defiance that they have is the spirit of rebellion. And we are watching, saying nothing is happening. One day my child will grow, and a child of 12 shouting at his mother, and while he's doing it from every territory, they are doing it. There is a spirit making it happen. Do you believe what I'm sharing? There are some of us, we cannot talk to our younger brothers or sisters now. We are 10 years older than them, but you dare not open your mouth to talk to them.
You just think they are being stubborn. No. It's a spirit. The spirit of defiance. The spirit of rebellion. When those age ranges become our governors and our senators, that's when you will see the full assault of darkness. Ah, but not when we are alive. God has men. Elisha said, tell Naaman to come and let him know there is a prophet in Israel, not there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah. You do a program now and you want to put it on mainstream TV. If there is the name Jesus, there is the name Holy Spirit, there is the name Eternal Life, it falls under the same category as some of those words that they don't allow to be pronounced, including God, Jesus. Ah. You tell a preacher to preach and there's no name Jesus, there's no salvation, there's no God, there's no redemption. What is he preaching? The most destructive manifestation of demons is their ability to manipulate the thinking of men. It's not their ability to inflict sickness. No. That's cheap. It's not their ability to bring death. That's cheap. But to keep a man alive and to hijack them, whom the God of this world, who blinded their mind? The God of this world. There are gods that station within territories. There are territories where you don't find old men. The oldest man is 43. Because anybody that crosses it dies. I've seen territories like that. There are territories where all their men are dead. The territory is full of women. Because all the men die. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It was only the male figures in your family the devil took their lives away and left the women. Was it not the firstborn male that was killed when Moses was born? Not women. Was it not the firstborn male 2 years and above that was killed when Jesus was born? Imagine all those women. It's a principle. So mothers are becoming both mothers and fathers because controlling powers are there. And while that is happening, we are laughing. You know, I've told you about a saying in my village that when you see your neighbor's beard on fire, get water and soak your own. Don't laugh. The same fire is coming to you. We must pray. Oh, we must pray. There are spirits. We must pray. When I came, I was asking Ejimi about the testimony of the dear lady, a precious lady that I came, I met. I saw you people so excited and I wanted to know what was going on. And when he told me the story, I said, you see it now? And someone would tell that lady that the only attack she has is the one in her mind. Are you joking? Are you joking? I've seen demons, so this is not something I'm just talking. I've seen them. The first time I saw a real physical demon, it was then in the campus. I was at going to the back of a generator. There used to be a generator there. And as soon as I turned, I saw a real spirit. And he said, get back. That's what he told me. I'm not talking nonsense that was you read in a storybook. They are not cunningly devised fables. I've seen these spirits. They are real. I know what they do on earth. I know what they do in families. There are controlling powers that destroy marriages. If you do not stand your ground, I love you is nonsense. Just keep going. One day you will wake up and see the same woman you love that was there for you. And this spirit will land on your head like a mantle. And you see what happens to you. What of men who kill their children? Have you not seen a trend recently now? A trend of rape. Rape. Huh? That all these guys just come and just rape ladies. Do you think those guys are just driven by desire? Are they not prostitutes? No. It's more than desire. It's a spirit. There is something it seeks to do. Sodomy is a spirit. You know that, right? There is something it does, and pleasure is not one of it. Spiritual intelligence. We need to stay and ask God to teach us wisdom. Let us know His ways. Hallelujah. I know territories where when you rise up, if you dare open your mouth and say, everybody come and celebrate with me, see what the Lord has done. From that day, you must go down. Joseph told his brothers, I had a dream. It's not my fault. I went to bed and I had a dream. The sun, the moon, 11 stars. And the brothers said, that's all right. They were the ones who were going to kill him. Listen, we must learn to pray these spirits out of the way. We must learn to pray these distractions. You see the things that are happening in Zaria now? Some of the developments, the roads. Don't you think it's technology that is bringing it? It's a signature of the prayer of the saints. Shut down the prayer of the saints in this city. Then you will know what Satan has always wanted to do. I believe in the ministry of prayer. It is not the issue of being a Pentecostal. The days are coming when it will no longer be an issue of devotion in the morning or praying for a sermon. You are praying to secure your children. Listen, let me tell you, this day and age, listen, do you know if your child leaves home to go to school, you should pray. What happens to that child from the door of your house to school? That child is under the tutelage of someone you do not even know. By evening, he will come back and ask you questions that you cannot sleep. Daddy, what is this? And you say, who taught you? Say, my teacher taught me. Your teacher? Yes, sir. Controlling powers. Koinonia is not thriving just because Satan does not know we are here. Is thriving because of the invincibility of prayer fire. I said it in the morning that there are departments in this ministry I supervise by myself. And there is a reason why. Because of the strategic role that they play. Now every department plays that strategic role. But because of the spiritual component, the prayer department, the worship team, you always see me on their case with the leaders. There is a reason why. Because let me tell you the truth. When these instruments just become music, we're in trouble. When this singing just becomes entertainment, we're in trouble. When the prayer department just becomes a place of fellowship, we're in trouble. And the fire upon the altar that it shall burn day and night. Most churches have partners, financial partners, and that's all right. Most churches have protocol members that protect the man of God. Most churches have priority, you know, activities. But the things that keep the fire are not there. Prayer, zero. Worship, zero. Let me tell you something, brothers especially. Honestly, if you are a man in this generation and this time, and your priesthood ministry is not at work, you are about to destroy your wife and children. There is no such thing as pray for me again. You pray your way and pray the climate open. Ah, my wife and my child, Mother Mary, as you go to church, pray for me. That thing must end. It is my prayer that the homes in Koinonia don't become like shrines, that they become real homes. The proof of masculinity is not the huskiness of your voice. It's the dexterity of your priesthood. I've advised us ladies, watch out for these things in saying yes. Don't just say yes carelessly and say time is going. The urgency on ground requires men and women who know how to burn the incense. Please sit down. There are spiritual forces that shaped the minds of people.
A lady sent me a text recently. She just graduated. As soon as she graduated, she said she's been feeling like tearing her clothes and running on the street. Now, do you think an intelligent person will behave like that? It's a spirit. How many graduates have you seen that the moment they finish on their way going home, a little kekena pep just turned and left them there till a truck came and climbed them? How many people have you seen, final exam, final paper, they just find something on the ground and say, that's it, you are gone. There is no such thing that is just, it's no coincidence. It's the manipulation of spirits. You have an assignment to sanitize your atmosphere. Let them know you are alive. Start with your atmosphere. Sometimes I walk around my house in the night, especially when I'm around. I'm just walking around my house. Do you know, not too far from my house, there is a graveyard. I've not seen one ghost. One ghost. Where will it enter and come to my house? I'm not dealing with matters of destiny, not a ghost coming from somewhere. What business has the dead, the living, to do with the dead? I even wanted to buy the place. They told me that there are graves there. Apostle, don't buy. Why? You are dead, you are dead. One time, Archbishop Benson Idahosa came and met that they killed a fowl. I think it was an incantation. And he saw it and he gave it that they should go and help him and cook it. They had already caught it. Say, why waste meat like this in the name of nonsense sacrifice? God does not love wastage. He said, gather the crumbs that there be no wastage. See, let me tell you this. If you do not know the power of prayer, you will fear demons to death. Hallelujah. We sit down and allow spirits to roam around our houses. I know a man, true story, in Jos years ago. He was slapped by, I don't know if he's a ghost or a spirit. He works there in the teaching hospital. And he said he used to hear, that means the, what they call that place, doctor, where they keep mortuary. In the night, while doing his work, true story, you will hear like discussions. You know, like people have woken up and they are talking. True story. And one time he shouted, according to him, he said, shut up. And I don't know whether he wanted to open the door or something. I stand before the God of heaven and I lie not. And the spirit slapped him until that man died. He did not recover. Spirits are real. Don't wait till you see them. They are real. My mother once told me a story. They went to bury someone. This thing did not, I'm not sure it's more than 6-7 years. They went to bury someone, and physically, as they were dropping the coffin, fire came out and killed some people. Not parables, not vision. Fire came out and killed some people. Have you seen people that they buried and you found a man back in your house? All these things will remain when there is no prayer. Just saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. That's not the way it works. We are legislators. We enforce things. We don't just wish things. This wishing mentality will cost the church a lot. No, it's impossible. Who am I that the devil will not come? Jesus went to fast. Satan went to join him. He was fasting. Satan was fasting too. He was waiting there for 40 days for Jesus. Who do you think you are that you will not come around your vicinity? From whence comest thou? Jesus asked Satan. He said, from voyaging to and fro. There was not a place that he did not go to. Have you considered my servant Job? Yes, I came to his house. It's only that he built a fortification and I could not access. Hallelujah. Right now, people are afraid. 7 o'clock, people have to lock up their shops in many areas. They are losing in business.
Why? Because some tout somewhere will come and waylay them and loot and steal money, and the church is just quiet. Don't be like Esther, but be like Esther. Parakatusiata. You sense anything around your vicinity, you don't wait to understand what it is. Tap your wife and say, wake up. When you do that twice, three times, 1 month, the devil will know where to pass. See, let me tell you this. Whatever you allow to happen to your life, don't blame God. Whatever you allow to happen to your family, don't blame God. I'm waking us up that territorial dominion truly happens on the strength of priesthood, not a need-driven prayer. Hallelujah. I heard of a man recently, for 4 years, I'm trying to be sure so that I don't exaggerate anything. 4 years, the wife refused to get pregnant. The man was tired one day. He came back from fellowship. The wife was sleeping. He came and knelt down and put his hand on top of her stomach and prayed that woman into pregnancy. No, I mean it. If I'm joking, I'll tell you I'm joking. He was tired of this thing and said no. He knelt down. You just sleep. You are my wife. I'm the one who paid your dowry. Let me face this spirit of barrenness. See, there are times in your life you need to get agitated spiritually and stop allowing nonsense to just happen within your territory, within your family. Hallelujah. I was so encouraged when I heard it. Literally pray, not like impartation or yet. No, he sat down, knelt down on top of his wife's stomach and prayed in tongues until that report changed. You can pray some things out of your life and you can pray some things into your life. There are times that you can put your job, your certificate on the ground and lock yourself from 12 to 6. You pray until where you did not apply called you. Our generation has not understood the power of prayer. Those who know how to pray are people who do not take no for an answer. They don't negotiate. They decide and agree. God, are you in this? If God says yes, they clear anything that stands the way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. A prayerless territory is a powerless territory. A prayerless couple is a powerless couple. A prayerless business is a powerless business. A prayerless ministry is a powerless ministry. Please sit down. Boy, our time is gone. The first key to territorial dominion is priesthood. Koinonia, pray. Don't just pray on Tuesday. Pray. Pray. You go back this night, trust God for grace. Even if it's 15 minutes, walk around your room a little before you lie down. Apostle, you don't know how busy I am. That is the excuse that is the door that the devil will use to enter your life. If you search for excuses, you will always find one. Let me tell you this. I have taught you and I pray you will believe it. Master the power of night prayers. Master the power of night prayers. A generation that sleeps all through the night into the morning is a generation that will not be powerful. I'm telling you this. See, there is a time when you will enter your Sabbath in experience. A young man, personally, now it's not, I'm not saying this is the Bible, it's my personal understanding that a young man who actually goes to bed by 9 to wake up by 6 and you don't have time for your destiny, you are building rubbles. The night is when men who are men pray. The night is when men who are priests pray. The night is when men who are watchmen pray. The night is when gatekeepers of destiny pray. Let me tell you sincerely, I have not slept in days, like real sleep, to take out time and sleep. It's a sacrifice. You are supposed to get a job that God will use to change your family and your territory. And while you are sleeping, they send a letter from a parastatal. We need these 41 names in the list. And there are spirits waiting there to decide what name will be removed. And every other person is in a herbalist shrine, forcing his name to remain there. And you are snoring away. Your sleep is the marker that will clean your name out of that list. You can stay and insist. I may not have access to the office, but I can pray. I can pray. I've seen the ministry of angels in my life. I know that angels are real. I know that they are real when you pray. There are times I've tried to look for things and I could not find them. And I prayed and slept. And in my dream, I got up and went to where it was, and I woke up and went there physically and carried it. Many of us do not understand the ministry of angels because we do not pray. In the name of Jesus, every prayerlessness and spiritual laziness upon your life, I curse it now, this night. In the name of Jesus, all the movies, internet, browsing that distract you, I'm not saying they are wrong, but if it can sit down and distract your prayer life, I separate you from it now. It was in the night that Jacob wrestled with God and got power. It was in the night that God came to Solomon and he received something. Men receive things in the night. Don't waste your night. Charge your atmosphere. Sleep under a heavy atmosphere of worship. While you are sleeping, you are receiving. You wake up in the middle of the night and you know an impartation is ongoing. See, let me tell you, these are not things we are, these are things we have practiced for years. Strong worship in that atmosphere while you sleep, and you will keep having all kinds of dreams. Sometimes the dreams will show you the root cause of things. Sometimes you are hearing a message and in the dream you will start acting the message. You are alive to the message. Oh Lord, help our generation, help our generation, help our generation in the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. If you are a minister of the gospel in this place, that means you are in ministry, or you are trusting God to be in ministry. Please wake up. I deliver you from laziness. Hear me. Ministry is not about suits and agbada and protocol. Ministry is serious business. You know, all this, and I say this respectfully to our younger generation. Most of these boys do not understand the gravity of attack that can come to your life when you are in ministry. They are just happy and just loiter around in pride. One attack will kneel you down. You need to be powerful with God. Are we blessed? Number two, goodness. The second principle or territorial dominion is the power of faith. Hebrews 11:33, the power of faith. You cannot take over a territory when you doubt God. You cannot take over a territory
when you do not believe God. Hebrews 11. Please read, everyone. 1, 2, read. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Listen, the Bible says this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What is faith? Your conviction, your depth of persuasion on who God is and the integrity of his person, that convinces you enough to believe God and take action. You will need the audacity that faith brings to reign in life. Life is not for weak people. Life is not for risk-averse people. Life is for men and women who are courageous enough to storm the gates of destiny. The Bible says that, listen, it said that Lot and Co were hijacked and captured. And Abraham said, what did I hear? You carried my cousin? Gather all the war men and let us go. Courage. Courage. Faith. The righteous are as bold as a lion. That lion dimension is not supposed to help you harass people. The lion dimension is so that you will be able to stand in the face of situations and say, you can bring your best shot, Satan, I will still be standing. It takes faith to build a church. It takes faith to start TV ministry that will bless people. It does not take money. It takes faith. First, it takes faith to raise your children. We are a generation that is obsessed with guarantee. Give me a guarantee that you will be there for me. There is no guarantee anywhere in destiny. Please hear me. Everybody say faith. When God called me to ministry, I called my father and my mother, and I knelt down before them and I told them, God has called me. All my life I'm going to be busy serving the purposes of the kingdom. My parents said, God bless you. We bid you Godspeed. Go well. That's it. I'm not doing well because the church I was serving before did not give me money. No, sir. Listen, let me tell you this. Faith creates everything out of nothing. Did you hear what I said? Your house now is in your faith. The money you need is in your faith. Please learn the laws of faith. Faith is predicated upon a revelation that God is able. The ability of God and his integrity. Everything looks impossible till faith brings it. God will never tell you what you can do. You know you have heard God when what he says is bigger than you. When God told me of the things that you'll be doing with this ministry around the world, when God showed me and told me the things that you... The power of faith. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Lift your voice and pray. Everyone, please pray. Pray where you are. Pray from the depth of your heart. Please pray from the depth of your heart. Shabrandegadebalatus
kaparaduka sedebredige de baladaba. Pray everyone, you are praying in the spirit. Balapu, Salabranda Gada Baladus, Ratabaratu Sasia Takata Brandi Gede Baladaba. Arapa Suta Baladaba Gada Brada Gede Baladabu. Secata Brada Balada Baradu Sade Brada Gede Baladabu. Imbrakakatu Pratisha Lepradi Gede Baladabu. Kaparato sada bradege de balarabu. Em prateke la prasada balato bradege de balarabu. Shala baranda kata praske de balato sabradege de balarabu. Em prataka prusede belekete shala paria da balaraba. Rapadu sada brandega de baladu.
It's a sacrifice you are making for your destiny. It's a sacrifice you are making for his kingdom.
Shikaruta Salabara.
2 more minutes, pray in the spirit.
Abarada balakata bradegedesh. Skadebarada balada bakota shada bradegede baladas. Emprata kaparuta shala bradegede balans. Balabu salabrandi gidi balas, ekete labradu salabrandi gidi balada balada bo. Kebaru kasi labahasi ada balada bo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Forget about the temporary inconvenience that you are going through. You are building something for a generation. You are building something that will last.
Rain will come and go, but what comes upon you comes and stays. Are we together now? Praise the Lord. Let's continue. The power of faith. Now faith is, the Bible says, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence, the tangibility of things not seen. Hear me, everyone. You want to take over territories, you will need to believe in God. Not believe in an uncle, not believe in an auntie, not believe in an asset, not believe in an investment. You need to believe in God. God is able. I may not know how, but I know that He will build for Himself what will bring Him glory. Many Christians, and especially our generation, we don't command results because we truly do not walk our faith. We doubt everything and we do not take God at His word. I've given you a little story years ago when I used to bank those days with First Bank, way before many of these facilities started coming that we now use to make banking easier. Then I would not have money at all in the bank. My faith was that rugged. I'm not saying do it. I remember those days I would pray and trust God for miracle alert. And I will stand up and start trekking to First Bank. I will queue for hours believing. Because I read in my Bible, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believest that thou receivest it. I took it literally. Many times I didn't find anything, unfortunately. But I didn't realize that what I was gaining was more than the money. I was gaining the flexibility of my faith. The ability to believe God at His word. Let me tell you this. When you are walking with God, you need to believe God. There are times God will tell you, wake up and go outside. You will go outside and nothing will happen. He will just say, go back. And your going out was profitless, but your faith is being developed. The idea is not for you to go and see or receive something. The idea is an exercise of your faith. So that tomorrow when He says, take this nation, you say, Lord, I'm able. We are well able. Unbelief is dangerous. My only limitation in my life is the voice of God and time. My only limitation in life is the voice of God and time. Time that honors the law of process. If God tells me to walk through this crowd to that door, I will not even see that rain is falling. I'm on my way going. Whatever stands my way, the faith that God gives. Do you not know that faith is a shield? You can use faith as a shield. It's a wherein you will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You are not the first to be persecuted. You are not the first to be challenged by evil spirits. It will take your faith to command victory. We're a generation that loves impartation. And impartation is important. But let me tell you something. There are dimensions of destiny work that impartation will not bring. It's a well you have to dig by believing God. If I perish, I perish. When God spoke about koinonia, I believed Him enough to take action. When God spoke about the messages being heralded by His angel and taking it around the earth, I believed Him. Today we've seen all kinds of miracles over our teachings. You've heard some of them. That someone will buy a brand new flash drive from the place where he bought it and take it home, brand new, out of the cave, slot it in, and there are koinonia messages all. How do you explain that? That's what happened when faith. Listen, you will never see the glory of God until you believe. You will never see the glory of God until you believe. We're a generation that is obsessed with guarantee before we move. Your only guarantee is the word of God. the word of God. Everything God told me about ministry, about destiny, I believed him. I still do. I still do. From the days when we could not afford bonds and could not afford a proper meal, I believed that was a career of the blessing. From the day when I could not pray for one person to be healed of headache, I believed that his anointing was upon my life. And I believed that he was going to use me. We are going to pray one prayer. I'm going to change my style of teaching now since there is rain. I'm so happy for the rain because it will take away unnecessary formality and keep you to listen. So now you are going to pray. Help my unbelief. Lord, whatever it is that is killing my faith and not allowing me to trust you. Help my unbelief. I claim that I trust you, but it's really my uncle that I trust. I claim I trust you, but it's really my certificate that I trust. I claim I trust you, but it's really my skill, my gift. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. You are praying it for your destiny. You are praying it so that you can command dominion. Lord, I trust you. The grace to believe you. Believe you for my finances. Believe you to open doors. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not the son of man that he should repent. If he speaks, he is able to bring his word to pass. Please pray, pray. Shila parus kariada balada balaba. Koinonia, pray.
He reigns, he reigns. He is standing by my side to bring his word to pass. He reigns, he reigns. My God is an awesome God.
Hallelujah. Listen, hear me. You need to shake off unbelief from your life today and say, Lord, I believe you. I mean, let everyone call me stupid, but I believe you. Let everyone mock me and laugh at me, but I believe you. I believe you. Your word is true, and I believe you. When you say I am great, I believe you. When you say I am the head, I believe you. When you say I am not the tail, I believe you.
When you say Gentiles shall come to my light, I believe you. When you say their kings will come to the brightness of my rising, I believe you. Listen, there are some of you in this place, God has told you you will stand before nations, but as it is, you look so weak and you will not believe it. You don't know the village I come from. I cannot even speak English well. That's not what God is saying. Believe me and let me take you there by myself. Years ago, when God told me he was giving me access to kings and people in government, I believed him. Our very first crusade, I demanded to see and let us share fellowship with the king of the land. We didn't have the opportunity to do it the first time. Every one of our crusades that we had gone, I demanded an audience with the kings because God told me he would give me access to kings. I believe God. It's none of your business who my father is. It's none of your business who my mother is. That's not what God said. That's not the condition for his word. I believe him. The same way some of you are here and God, you go to bed and you see yourself carrying the baton of generals. You wake up in the morning and say, it's a lie. It's not for people like us. We are the anyhows. Stop that ungodly talk and say, Lord, with all humility, I believe. Let it come. I believe you. It was in Port Harcourt. I was tending to a sick, one of our sick aunties, where I was staying in 2007. I was in Port Harcourt, and she was on her sick bed. She eventually died. And I was taking care of her in the teaching hospital there. And I was there. We were running shifts. And then from the, I don't know which of the floors now, I just looked at the window. And all of a sudden, I was caught up in a vision. And in that vision, I saw the international headquarters of this ministry. I saw 37 flags. And I saw white men. I saw nations coming. I said, what is this? And God said, that's where you are going. I believed him. I said, let's go, oh God. Let's go. I believe you. God told me I will never beg one king and beg any man for audience. I believed him. I believed him. I believed him. Can you believe God? One day I remember growing up, I told my mother, I said, do not worry about the things that are happening. One day you will eat and never have to beg for bread again, and it will be in your lifetime. I said it. See, the righteousness of faith speaks. It does not assume. You make statements that sometimes you are afraid. My wife, right now we may be soaking Gary, but in the name of Jesus, we will give to nations. And when you say, the devil will speak to your ears and say, foolish man, respect yourself. My faith, it reaches out to you. I believe your word from me today. My faith reaches out to you. I believe your word for me. Listen, one day I was praying and the Lord spoke to me and said, son, I will give you a gold mine. I believed it literally. I know it may have a prophetic meaning, but I believed it literally. Until 3 years ago, when three kings came together to give me 18.5 hectares of a gold mine, God said it, and I believed it. See, listen, let me tell you this. This ego and the feeling of saying, let them not say, I believed God and it was a lie.
If you don't throw that thing away to stand and trust God, so what if you find out it's not God that said it? You readjust and move. This ego is why many people will not grow. God said it, but I'm ashamed. I'm afraid. Let them not laugh at me. I remember when God gave me an instruction to empty my entire finance. It was a stupid thing. It was suicidal. But I did it. And God told me I would never beg for bread in my life again. I remember it was in this ministry. God gave an instruction to empty the account of the ministry. Literally, 0.00. And I believed him. Stupidly believed him. 1 week after that, God brought a harvest that till tomorrow we will not recover from. But I know whom I have believed. If God says I will give you a house, believe him. If God says you will feed nations, believe him. If God says you will pay the school fees of a generation, believe him. Don't believe your ATM. Let God be true and every man a liar. Please hear what I'm telling you today. This life and this destiny, I stand before the God of heaven, and may I be forgiven if it's a show of arrogance, but there are many things. One of the things that God does with me is he mandates me to declare what he said before it happens. There are many things that I've said. Today, Prof said something here that really touched me in the morning. And he said that one of his daughters, he remembered when we were meeting those days on campus, and that I said that God is bringing mantle, a mantle of people for kingdom financiers. And he saw his then little daughter. She was rolling under the anointing, and he looked at her and was wondering. And he said that she got a job and within 1 year bought a car of over 3 million. And he said he was surprised. When God says it, he would do it.
If he did it before, he can do it again.
When we started the Koinonia worship team, I stopped these guys for many years from going for external ministrations. And I told them, I said, do you know why? I know what God showed me about you. That days will come, you will sing and nations will sing your songs. Stay and be dealt with by the Spirit. Those days, some of them didn't understand because they wanted to go for programs and shall they sit down. Sit down. Today, it's amazing the way one by one, it's already starting like droplets, but it's an avalanche. It will come and you will see the songs that come from here. Songs that will mentor nations. Songs of warfare. Songs of victory. Songs of the throne. You see, most times we don't believe men till it's too late. We'll say, he said it all. I believe him. I believe you. That's why you see me stand to teach you. Do you know, let me confess, true confession. I had a meeting before coming here, you know. I had a meeting and then just briefly met with a family and then a woman before coming, preparing to come for Koinonia. And while I was preparing, I was so tired. I sat down and I didn't know which one to do, to eat or to rest. And I was so tired. And I was telling the woman, I said, my God, all I want to do now is to sleep. But I just got up. I said, I rebuke that statement. There is a generation to mentor. There are people to raise. And she said, Apostle, I know you. As soon as you are done with all this talk, the zeal of the Lord that is in you, you will quickly go and prepare and stand up. And truly, you see me standing now. I'm done here and I'm counseling for hours. 7 in the morning, I'm out of this city just to go and just perform a function, do a few things.
and return. Sacrifice. But that happens because God said so. God promised me that he will keep me strong and vibrant. I believed him. You do what I do in the strength of the flesh, you will not be sick, you will die. I say it without exaggeration. You literally will fall down and you will die. One day my father warned me and said, look, my son, just do your best. Take out time once in a while and rest. I said, I know and I believe I will rest. But the king's business requires haste. There are destinies to be raised. There are impartations to come to nations. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I went to bed to 5. It was as if I just turned my head and I checked the time. And it was morning. The last thing I remember was that I was going to take, there was water by the side of my bed and a drink. And I remember I was preparing that in 5 minutes I would just turn and take a sip. And I had slept. It was already morning. And I got up, had to brush up on my notes to come. Why? Because when you are about his business, he will maintain you. There are things you cannot lie about, not for long. It will be clear. See, let me tell you this. God has been faithful to me. You see these hands? I have laid these hands on different sicknesses and diseases, communicable ones. I'm not supposed to be alive today based on the things and the people I have touched. You must believe God. God told me, forget about cars and houses, focus on me. I've raised men already to do that for you. I remember when someone came and met me to give me a car. I was happy and God said, it's not your car. Just pray for him and let him carry his car and go. I wanted to say, God, the next time you will give me a lift. But I was happy. Do you believe what I share with you? Can you spare me 5 more minutes? Are you tired? I know you are tired. You are just passionate. But listen, let me tell you this. You must love tomorrow more than today to enter that tomorrow. If you love your today more than tomorrow, the door has closed. Closed by you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I was in secondary school and the fire of God fell upon us, we started a prayer group and a prayer movement called Operation Catacus. Yes. We would pray sometimes immediately after preps. It was supposed to be a little 1 hour prayer. And some of these weak-spirited people who are feeling sleepy will just tell them, look, go to your hostel and sleep. 1 hour, it will become a vigil. I was made the timekeeper of the school in JS2. That was the level of the hand of God that was upon my life. 4:45, someone would wake me every day without fail. 4:45. That was when I started having encounters with this. I didn't even know that they were angelic encounters. 15 minutes on the dot to 5. Tap me. I wake up. Father, help this generation. In the name of Jesus. Help us to be so consumed by the reality of the realm of the spirit. And the power that that realm wields upon this realm. All you see is not all there is. Hallelujah. So when you hear a word like you are blessed, when you hear a word like doors be open, many of us just say amen as a Christian response to a man of God's prayer. But a few people will believe God and take him literally and said, when I said amen, I said, let it be so. Where is it, oh God? I said amen. I expect an answer. The last that I will give us, and then we're done. Territorial advancement. The last key. Lend me 5 minutes, and we are done. The power. Are we ready? the power of consistent results. One of the kingdom keys allocated for dominating a territory is consistent results. Let me tell you this. Consistent results shows that there is understanding. Consistent results show that there is knowledge. Consistent results show that mastery has been attained. Consistent results. Years ago, I started watching a man who would lift people off wheelchairs and crutches as though it was a joke. He would stand and look at them and just pray a simple prayer, sometimes even be sarcastic about it, and throw the wheelchair and throw the crutch and said, "Walk," and that's the end of it. In about 6 years, he raised about 9,000 crutches and wheelchairs. His church is full of crutches around the church. I said, "This is mastery. I must go down to see him." He was in South Africa, and I traveled. He's gone to be with the Lord now, Prophet Kobus van Rensburg. I traveled to South Africa to meet him, and I met him, and I told him why I was here. I was not there for pilgrimage. I was not there for entertainment. I was there for business. I said, "I desire this grace. I desire it. It is a grace. 10,000 crutches cannot be mistaken." No. Many unbelieving members, yet they were also raising crutches. You could see that they didn't have faith. Yet they would say, "Walk," and joke with it. You see, many times when the leader that you are under is carrying a grace, you will cheaply receive that grace. Listen, when you receive that grace and receive that dimension, many times you will see how cheap it works. Some of you here who are under this ministry and under this covering, you will go for meetings casually and just say, "Let's pray. Ah, the power of God is here," and it will be as if you are acting drama. And even you have not really studied the dynamics of the anointing. Many people started getting prosperous in living faith before they read about prosperity. It was later they found out they were even sinners because they were not tithing, yet they were still enjoying abundance. Say, "Okay, Lord, forgive me. Now I'll start doing it properly." Some people were strolling and just saw prayer city, prayer was going in, and they said, "Let me go and find out what is going on there." And from that day, they cannot sleep again till they pray, because a grace came upon them. Let me tell you this. Results are governed by three things. One, light. Two, please listen. Results are governed by three things. One, light. Two, association. Three, graces. These are the factors that govern results in this kingdom. Never forget it. Light, the depth of the spiritual illumination you have as it pertains the area where you want to see result. Number two, association. God called Abraham and Lot went with him. And then number three, graces. If there is any area in your life where you are not commanding results, check for these three things. One, there is a dimension of spiritual illumination that you are lacking. Number two, there is a community of people with that grace that you have not honored. And number three, there is a dimension of grace that has not rested upon you. It is easy to produce results when you know the laws that govern them. Hallelujah. Do you know, let me tell you, as little as this thing, our time is up, as little as what I shared with you is, if you understand this mystery, my brothers and my sisters, there are dimensions that God has cheaply committed to this ministry. You will enter into it like a joke. You know, it pains me when I see certain graces that are so lavishly available, but there is no widespread testament of people who have entered that dimension. The knowledge you have, the spiritual understanding. Number two, your association. Not just in terms of friends, also the covenants, the tribe. that you come under, that you are grafted into. And then number three, the graces that are upon your life. Any man who is exposed to these tripartite forces will be a strange man upon the earth. When I traveled to South Africa to meet Prophet Cobus van Rensburg, I had wanted going to meet Robert Lerdon and then Charles and Francis Hunter. Unfortunately, I couldn't meet them. I sat down and I listed like an architect the graces that will construct the house. I listed them and I searched for the individuals that had those graces. Like a chef says, I need salt. Where do we buy salt? Sabo. Where do we? This is how I listed these graces, like a bee, and I searched for them one by one. I was very, very foolish at a point in my life. I knew that wisdom would be part of the graces that I would need for my life, and I would need for this apostolic office. I pursued Dr. Miles Murdoch and Bishop David Oyedepo. These were the two dimensions of wisdom that came to my life. I saw the wisdom of God at work in their life, and I said, this foolishness must end. I pursued that grace. I pursued it with all my heart. Are we together? Yes. Results. Whoever commands results becomes the leader. Whoever commands results becomes the force to reckon with. I submit to you that many of the dimensions that you see in my life and in this ministry, they are not guesswork. There is an exact knowledge that is back of them. They will continue to be reproduced again and again. When there is increase, when there is the outstretched hand of God, when there is favor, there is prosperity. When there is passion and hunger for God, these are results. Please do not join the people who ignore results. I'm wrapping up. I know the rain is done, but just be patient. Make sure as they are coming out, they are still listening, please. You are going to pray for results. Listen to me. I told myself, God, there is no need to be in ministry if I'm not producing results. That you bear fruit and that your fruits abide. Much fruits. Some of you who are visiting this place for the first time will go back and know that God is here. You met him. It's called results. The next time you come, you will not come alone. Let me tell you, empty pews are proof of lack of results. It's an uncomfortable truth, but it is true. Are we together? In fact, empty anything. Emptiness is proof that you do not understand the laws that govern you. I saw the way pastors used to raise money. Now, please, I'm not being sarcastic, with all respect and all honor to men of God and the body of Christ. But I saw the way people were being manipulated to raise money. I saw the way pastors, birthday pastor, I said, no, this is not Bible. But then I asked myself a question, how will you eat? And how will the ministry thrive? And then I said, I have to go to the Word of God and find out. And then I found out that God can open a door for a man that no man can shut. I found out that there was an exactitude to the blessing of God. Let me show you one of the most recent scripture I found. 1 Corinthians 29:12. I apologize, we are wrapping up. First Chronicles 29:12. I saw this scripture in my dream. I was sleeping and this scripture came, and I woke up and I saw it and I rejoiced. I said, that means God is shifting me to another dimension. Both riches and what? Honor come from you. You reign over all of them. It's a dangerous scripture. Both riches and honor come from thee. You reign over all, and in thy hand is power and might. Look at all the things we need in one verse. Riches, honor, power, might, greatness, strength. God is the owner. I saw it in my dream. I went to sleep, oh, and I saw that scripture. I got up and I searched it. I said, this is this. If this scripture were a clot, it would have faded by now. I prayed this scripture into my life. See, I stepped into the grace for favor when I prayed for favor for 1 month. That was my prayer request. Not for a selfish reason. Lord, a man can carry favor bodily. Let me be an example of it. Do you know many times when I pray these things, it's so that I will bring it and you will receive. It's not so much for myself. When I received the grace for long life, it was with speed. The day I was coming for koinonia, it was as if I was going for my wedding reception. Give me chance, let me stand. These people were singing and I couldn't wait for them to finish singing so that I would climb up. I came with a grace that I did not have. The grace for long life. You can carry graces like a fisherman. When you catch something and you push your hook, you draw it, force it out. When you see what it is, this kingdom is a kingdom of deep mysteries. Deep mysteries. Deep mysteries. Hallelujah. Both riches and honor come from you. Thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great. Look, God is the maker of greatness. When God selects you to be great, He selects you to be the face of a generation. It doesn't matter who thinks what or does not think it. God has chosen this ministry. God has chosen us by the privilege of His grace to be one of the major pillars of what He's doing in this generation. It's an honor we receive. He made it so. Results. We are going to pray. We have to wrap up. Listen to me. Koinonia, hear me. My heart is pained if your life does not command results. Let it first start from your life. Then we'll start commanding results over territories. Was it not Joshua that told the sun to stand? Results. There are results that can shut down a nation in one day. A time will come, kings will come to seek the counsel of God from us and say, what is God saying? He said, kings will entreat your favor. When God told me He would give me access to kings and I would speak to kings in this nation, I believed Him. Listen, it's not pride. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be speaking to all the legislators in this country in a breakfast meeting. All of them gathered in one place, the International Conference Center, and I will be speaking to them, the counsel of God. When God says it, I believe it. Listen. This thing is not about a man. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Results are powerful. If you doubt results, then what are you at? Results. You must insist that my fig tree must bear fruit. I'm tired of green leaves. Lord, this fig tree must bear fruit. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the streams of water, whose leaves does not wither. Is someone ready to pray? Please take 2 minutes, blast in tongues and cry. Honor my life with results, oh God. Results. Honor my life with results. Please pray. You reign, hallowed.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're wrapping up. In the name of Jesus, the grace that will cause you to reproduce every result you see here, may that grace rest upon your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the grace that will bring you into strange dimensions, wonder-working dimensions of results, may that grace rest upon your life. I speak upon your life access to kings. May that grace come upon you. Access to kings in the name of Jesus Christ. Access to kings in the name of Jesus Christ. I have set before you an open door. I decree and declare the kind of influence that God can put upon a man. Influence is not a carnal desire. It is so that you can rise to a point where the nations can look up to your life. In the name of Jesus, the grace that can cause a generation to look at a man and follow Christ through that man, may that grace rest upon you now. May that grace rest upon you now. The grace for strange signs and wonders, wonders of the Spirit, may that grace come upon you now. May that grace rest upon you now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every man who must honor and recognize what you carry, I speak to them by prophecy in this season and in the name of Jesus in this month of October. I command someone must celebrate your grace. Someone must celebrate what you carry for the sake of His majesty. In the name of Jesus, I compel men to discern the grace upon your life. I compel men to discern the hand of God upon you. I compel men to discern the unction upon you. Father, we thank you for tonight. Let the name of the Lord be praised. Let me pray one prayer concerning favor and your finances. Please allow me pray it. God sees my heart. God sees how much I pray for you every time. There is a dimension of the blessings of the Lord that I want you to step into. And the reason is because it will give you the time to serve Him. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. The wealth that comes by prophecy, I speak to your life. Carry that grace now. 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 I command your barns to be filled with plenty. I speak wine and oil to your treasury. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The kind of favor that the saints need to rise to the position of influence that will allow them to legislate on behalf of the kingdom. May the grace for that favor rest upon you. Enter into prepared blessings. Let me pray for you. Multiplied visions and spiritual experiences. Hear me. The spiritual blindness that stops your eyes from seeing what God is doing, I tear that veil now. I decree and declare, everywhere you find yourself, I compel the people there to look up to you as you look up to Christ. Listen. Don't sit back doubting what you are saying. No. Every utterance is backed by the throne. I'm not speaking as a man. When God calls men, he backs them. And that every door you must enter in this season, because we advance through the entrance of doors. I speak to that door. Let it be open for you now. Let it be open for you now. Indeed, it will be said about us that we are a people that the Lord has helped. Marvelously helped, like Uzziah. In the name of Jesus. Father, we declare that our territory will come under the influence of your name and your grace. We will never give an inch of our territory to the reign of darkness and Satan. We will stand as watchmen until we see the reality of your power and your glory rest upon our land. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Our time is gone. You are here and you are saying, Apostle, I want to make it right with Jesus. Apologize because of the rain, we've had to stretch. But you are here and you are saying, I need a fresh start with the Lord Jesus. We have just 1 minute for you. Please be careful, no moving around carelessly, so that we can have those who are coming out to come. If you're on your way coming here, whether you are inside, you're outside, I'd like you to boldly, or you are saying, Apostle, I really want to rededicate my life to Christ. I know the implication of this that you have shared. Please boldly summon the courage, take a step of faith as we clap and salute them. Come and stand right at the altar here while I pray for you. God bless you. People are coming. Celebrate them as they come. Koinonia, is this the best you can do? Those coming from outside, please clear the way for them. Clear the way for them. God bless you. God bless you. Koinonia, keep clapping. Let's celebrate them as they come to make Jesus Lord of their lives. Genuinely and truthfully. Apostle, I believe Jesus can give me a new start. You are right. Come, join them. Join them quickly. If you are coming from outside, please rush. And be careful with the ground because it rains so.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia Live, go to mixler.com/koinonia-radio.
And download the teachings on koinoniasermons.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853. We love and send